I can't do it. Good?
Yeah.
That's not good. It's good to be excited.
Especially after 3 weeks of vacation. Kang? All right. I'm glad to have Kang and Ying back with us here after 3 week vacation in Oregon. Very nice and cool, huh? Yeah. Hot? Oh, see, you're lucky. We suffer down here in all the heat. But I'm glad you're back. Anyone back from vacation? Okay, who do you have here? Kayla? Yeah? Cousin, okay, yes. Yeah. Well, thank you. Dow, my heart go out to you. I didn't know you're going through so much, but I'm very happy to see your mom and dad here for the last month, huh? They really enjoy here. I really have a good time with Dow's dad. He really like it. Matter of fact, we pray for him last night that that God fulfill Dow's mom wish. And do you know what her wish on the bus was? You know? You say amen, someone amen. What's her wish? Yes, he baptized to join the Seven Heavens Church. Yeah, that's right. And she kept saying that and pray about it. You know, on the bus trip, more than one person asking for that. Please pray that my husband, my wife, to join the church. More than one. You know that, right? And one request from a lady and her husband came to church the very next Sabbath. You know who is it?
Stephanie.
Yes. So she did request on the bus. Do you hear that? And so maybe we have two different buses, different people, different buses. Maybe we not hear all that. As amazing, God bless. I mean, the Lord has been very good to us and have been blessed us especially. And here's Sarah. Nice to come back. Hi, Tim. Congratulations, guys. Wonderful wedding. A wonderful program. I'm sure they're looking forward to their honeymoon. Right? And so... that's exciting. All right, I want to share with you about one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. Okay? The word peace is, nowadays we don't even think much about it, and especially our world, we're going through so much turmoil, we don't know what really peace. Some of you live in this country, live here in Southern California. To you, what is peace? What a definite peace. Is peace that's where you hear water trickling down some creek? Is that peace? Is that what you think about peace? I go to some dentist's office or doctor's office, I have some here water to try to make that peace. Or some music going on when I have my teeth pulled out, they try to give some a peaceful music, you know. Is that peace? Yeah, that's peace. But some of us going through a tough time, peace is very important. The word peace is, when I grew up, is so important. When I'm in Vietnam, we go sleep at night, especially when I was 4 or 5 years old. Every single night, I hear bomb so close to my home. I wish there's peace. Is that ever dawn on you about it? I mean, we live in this country. We don't think about the peace. But that time, I was scared. When we hear that bomb, we jump under the bed. Under the bed, at least there's some wood and cover you something. And so to me, peace is so important to me. Live in a war-torn country, you look for peace. What about the refugee? Right now, they want to find peace. All they need is just enough food to eat. And clothes to wear. That's it. All they live that they wish that no one chasing them. To them is peace. And so some of us, we might not really understand. But, you know, we try to put our feet into other people's feet to understand what people are going through. And for them, peace is so meaningful. More than what we have. We live in the country that someone sacrificed that we can have a peace for living here, right? Some other country, they don't have it. Do you know for the last 4,000 years, how many years do you think there's peace? As the records say, 268 years of the world that have peace. Other years, no peace. 85% of all history concerning itself is war, after war, after war. From this country, other country, from this religion to other religion, there's always war. There's no peace. Now, if God mentioned about peace, where do we find peace? And so here, I want to share with you 3 points about peace. Okay, some of the time we live in the country, we don't feel it, but there's 3 points. God spoke so much about peace that we sooner or later, if you have not faith now, you're going to have faith problem. You want to find peace. Let go to a define what is, God is. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Maybe doing Christ time, they really need peace, right? Doing Christ time, what happened? The Roman were trying to take over the control over the land of Judah, the Jews, and so they have no peace. They live in a world that someone have to tax them, and so here they live in the circumstances. Here God come, and here in Romans chapter 16, verse 20. The Bible says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Those kind of words that people need to hear when you live in the circumstances and you hear about there's peace afterward, there's hope afterward. That's what we people live by. People live by. I escaped from Vietnam in 1975. And people's waiting for a helicopter, an airplane to take them out of this country. People get into any ship as possible, either small or big, doesn't matter. To them, their hope. They find no peace living in this land. They have to run away. They're willing to let go of their home, let go of their possession to find a peaceful place. And so that's what means to peace. And so here, God come here, try to point out, I am a God of peace. So how has that happened? So now we want to take a look at point number one. Is what? Is a peace by looking upward to God. Upward peace. You have to think about peace with God. Because in this world you might not find peace, but with God you find peace, and God have promises. John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. And here, Jesus before he left, remember, famous, John 14 is a famous chapter talking about, I will go prepare a place for you and I will come back, right? Well, before he left this very important verse. John 14, 27 say this, peace that I what? I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. This means what? The world never give peace to you. You never find satisfaction in this world. And so God said, I will give peace to you. And what else? Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Yes, you live in the world. But God said, do not be afraid. Do not be troubled about what's going on in the world. But I will give you peace. You know, we was wondering why, how could Stephen Stone, how Jesus Christ died on the cross, and they still find peace. Not during Christ's time. You remember? During the time of persecution of the Christian. They still find peace. Because they connect themselves with God to find peace. You know, all these things, the fruit of the Spirit is not from ourselves, but from God. So the peace is from one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is from God. God will give us if we gladly to accept it. What does that sound like so vague? How do you accept God and you find peace? God had promised that in this world have so many problems, but I give you peace that not what the world give, but give the peace to you. Well, let's understand this more. How can God give us peace? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And this talking about the purpose God come to this world and why did he point out about peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 18. My friend, we come to this world. God created the human race for us to live forever, right? And when there's no, when someone death in our family, we don't feel peace. Why does it happen? Why you took my son and daughter away? Why you let my grandma go away? Why do this? You know, we have no peace because we are enmity with death, with Satan. And so God want to point us here. I come to this world to give you peace. And what is it here? Okay, from Ephesians 2:14. For he himself is our peace. God is our peace. If you have a problem, if you couldn't find any peace around you, in your family, in your relationship, guess what? You need God to bring in. If God is not in the picture, there's no peace. Okay? And so he himself is our peace, who has made both one. That means you and I be one. I mean, God and us be one. Has broken down the middle wall of division between us. God and human race, there's a war. Okay? And that's why we don't have to find peace. And so Jesus Christ came down to this earth to break down that wall. So you and I can connect with God, have abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments containing in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So God coming here, Jesus coming here to make peace, to reconcile between us and the Father. Because the purpose we have peace, the purpose we have war, because there's enmity. We live in this and we got it so separate. You know? Just like a husband and wife separate become war, but someone has to come to bring them together. Because when you live separate, you feel hurt, feel pain, feel lonely. Now Jesus came down here to connect us together. How do he do that? Verse 16, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. So through the cross, God connect you and I to God. If it wasn't for the cross, you and I would be enmity with God forever. That means no peace. You see, so peace happened when the cross took place, thereby putting death, the enmity, putting to death the enmity. That's mean put to death, cut away the friction between God and the human race. You know, God loves us so much. How do you understand about that? See, let's say if God tried to chase you to bring you back home, you want to run away. That's a friction. Let go. God, I don't want you. I enjoy the world. I don't want you. God kept chasing you, okay? And so that when you see enmity, that means two couldn't see the same picture. So God had to send Jesus, die on the cross, to bring you back. Because, or else you will die forever. So the cross would take place if every one of us who accept him would not face eternal death. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. So God, Jesus, come down here to bring everyone to himself. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So only true peace, you and I connect. Connect. Just like when husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend argue, only peace comes from when you come to pray together. Right? When disagreement comes together, you pray together. Upward peace, only God can give us that peace. Sometimes we couldn't find peace. I don't know, when you do something against God's will, do you find peace? I mean, it can be joyful, exciting for a little bit. But I feel, you know, I don't feel connected. I feel something wrong. I feel guilt, you know? You did something, you start feel guilt. That's not peace. You couldn't find inner peace. Until God forgive you, then you find peace, right? If I ever gone through that, or only myself going through that? I did something, I feel so much guilt. Until I pray to God, and God give me that peace of mind. Say, son, I forgive your sin. That peace only happened from above. Now, if you keep fighting about it and say, you know, I'm doing right. I don't care what people think. I'm going to use the law for me. Guess what? The more we fight about it, the more guilt we build in our heart. We could never find peace. And so that point number one, you have to find peace with God. Upward peace. Okay? All right, next point I want to share with you is inward peace. Okay? Now, have a peace with God, upward peace, connect with God. Now, inward peace between yourself here. Philippians chapter 4, 7. Turn with me, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. What is the Bible trying to point out? How can we have peace and we're facing dark time? Peace living with yourself in any or all circumstances of life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Here's a read from the New King James Version. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Peace. How do you find peace within yourself? This is a story, and I want to share and hear, maybe draw some and conclude some idea for us to study about. Denny Simpson. Denny Simpson, 24 years old Canadian. One day he decided to rob the bank. Okay? How in the world would I rob the bank? All right, but he did try it some years ago. And he went to jail and tried to rob the bank in Ottawa. And they took his gun away. You know, he tried to rob the bank, what, $6,000 something like that? And because $6,000 he put in jail, well, he took they took his gun away, and they find this gun is a very old gun. It's a .45 calibers, called semi-automatic, and it turned out it'd be antique gun. It's made by Ross Rifle Company in Quebec City, and that antique gun is worth $100,000. So he robbed the bank for $6,000 when in his hand he had $100,000. So that's point, try to point an illustration. Sometimes we have peace and we don't see it. We have something valuable because you and I, when son and daughter of God, we have peace, we don't see it. We try to fight about it. We can find peace when we have God in our heart. And sometimes we calling to be a peacemaker as well. And so God calling us here, very important. We have peace in our heart. We connect with God to find peace. We connect with ourselves and each other because God said, I'm in the midst of you. If you need me, I'm in peace with you. God even say, I just quickly point out a few verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 say this, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace all time in every way. I just point out about you the people who live in the time of early church. They try to do everything possible to share word of God. We have Paul and Silas. Okay? They went out preaching the gospel and they were put in jail for that. How many people share glow and got put in jail for that? No, I don't think any of you yet. At least not yet, okay? And they were put in jail for that. They did not curse. They did not try to run away. They just sang and shared the gospel in the prison, and other people in prison believe in God. How could they do that? Because they have peace. When the Spirit in you, you have peace. What about the persecution time between the first and the third century? You know, millions of Christians were persecuted. They were thrown in the Colosseum. They were imprisoned. They were hanged. They did everything to the Christian. And they still continue to follow the word of God because they have peace. When you have peace, you recognize God's in you. When you go out witnessing and people try to talk you down, talk your God down, you still find peace and you still love them, you have peace. But if you feel like you take it personal, why are you upset with me? I didn't do anything. I just give you a little give. I give you a Bible, but why are you upset with me? You see, when we start take personal, we start get upset, then we don't have the Spirit of God. I'm talking about the peace you have is not easy, but it's not hard. If you got to constantly pray for that, especially we go out sharing evangelism, is very hard. Okay? It's hard because it's so personal. And we just try to do something good, okay? I mean, really good. Especially when you make bread, you give to people. Some people accept it. Some people throw it away. I remember we went to Pathway to Heaven. How many people serve Pathway to Heaven in LA? Okay? And they serve a lovely lunch. I thought it was a big meal, you know, for me, but it's not, just a few pieces of tofu and a piece of bread. Okay? And just, I eat that and say, wow, it's so good. I need it because I work so hard. But other people, they say, they throw in the trash. You know, to me, I want that food. Don't throw in the trash. Give it to me. You know, some people feel like it's not good for them. Okay? But to me, it's important. When you go out witnessing, you see people throw away. You feel hurt. When I print out some material, some book, and I give to someone, they throw in the trash. You feel hurt? It's hurt. It cost me time and money. But you know what? You got to find peace with God. You say, God, I did everything to share that word of God with other people. I do everything to share the blessing that you give me to other people. If they throw away, that's up to you, God. I am in peace with you. So that's a story about witnessing in family, same thing. You got to find that peace. I'm telling you, with my family, same thing. Sometimes, not every time, it's smooth. Is everything smooth with your family? Is it? Oh, Mr. Tom, the Tom family, everything's smooth, right? Okay. Not sometimes, you know, it's a struggle. But you know what? We have to go through with that, and we have to ask God in our midst. Now, the third point is very tough. We live by ourselves. It's fine. Joy, love, peace. I find peace with my family. It's fine. But the third point, God expects us more than that. We need to become someone else. Okay? Look with me right now in the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 verse 9. And Matthew chapter 5 is talking about the Sermon on the Mount. It's talking about blessed. Blessed. Those who read the word of God. Blessed are those doing that. Blessed. Is that beautiful, right? And so don't you want to receive all the blessing, right? You want to receive the blessing. But here, this one of the blessing requires you do something. Okay? Here, Matthew chapter 5 verse 9 say, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Do you want to be the children of God? Yes or no? Jane, you want to know? Yes. God said you be a peacemaker. Now, let me ask you, what is peacemaker? Is it fun to be a peacemaker? Okay, give you a really quick example. What if two person fighting and you have to become a peacemaker? Right in the middle. Have you seen people, a peacemaker, for two people fighting in the middle? If you jump right in the middle, guess what? You got hit it on both sides. Physically and emotionally. You want to help this person. You want to help that person. Guess what? You got one to blame. Especially son and daughter. If you see your parents fighting, guess what? You want to be a peacemaker. Guess what? Your dad says, you just like your mom. Your mom says, you just like your dad. You just want to be a peacemaker. You want to bring happy home, guess what? You're in the middle of something you don't want to. But God have called us to be peacemaker. God have called us to be peacemaker. God have been a peacemaker. Jesus Christ, peacemaker, am I right? He come to this world, he a peacemaker between God of heaven and us, the fallen race. He wants to connect us together. Whatever God said to the children of God, you are doomed to death eternally. Jesus Christ, no. Let's save people. Remember, I mean, a wonderful peacemaker is like Moses. I love Moses. And I want to be like Moses. You know what? God said that I'm going to kill these Israelites. I've been helping them come out of Egypt. And they've been cursed to me that I give them a good vegetarian food and they don't like it. Guess what? Moses said, no, God, cool down. These are your people. What about the people of God? They curse God. God, you took me out of this desert and you kill us in this desert. And Moses have to bear with, no, God want to save you. God will take you, go to the promised land. I promise you. You see, Moses have to be a peacemaker, try to solve problem between God and the human race. Now here it is, you and I. We live, not for ourselves, but we live as peacemaker for others. God called each one of us to be a peacemaker in your workplace, in your home, in the society, in the church. Do we need a peacemaker in the church? Yes. Yeah. You say yes. Okay. We need peacemaker everywhere. And God have called us. Blessed are those peacemaker, for you and I will call be a children of God. And so now, the point number three is very tough, and you and I have to find a way to be a peacemaker. My friend, when I believe in God, I thought, God, you bless me all the fruit of the Spirit. I receive it for myself. I found out that fruit of the Spirit, not only for yourself, is to share with others. Just like Daniel, when he able to pick a lot of fruit. Do you pick a lot of fruit in Victoria? And he share with us. The fruit you pick, you share. Okay? So now you receive the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What do? You share. Now, one of them is peacemaker, okay? Now, to be peacemaker, you have to have strategy, okay? You cannot just be peacemaker without a strategy. Just like if two people fighting, I jump in the middle, try to solve. Guess what? I can get bruised. I get kicked out, okay? You got to have a plan, okay? I steal this from someone else. Say P, start for peace, is make a plan. You have a plan of action. You have to think about what to do. You got to think about this person and that person argue, what do you solve? You think about this family and that family, this coworker, other coworker. You have to have a plan. Number two, E stands for empathize. Empathize with the feeling, what they're going through. Okay? See, a lot of time people think about peace because someone wrong, right? No, let understand what other people are going through. Right? Something happened in the morning. Maybe he didn't have a good breakfast. Maybe the dog bit him when he left the home. Whatever. You have to understand the circumstances. The next point is A, peace. Attack the problem, not attack the person. A lot of times, be a peacemaker, we try to attack the person. And say, if you say sorry to me, then we peace. Your fault and you don't say sorry. That's why we'll never have peace in the home. You see, let attack the problem. Let find out what the problem instead of the person. Okay? The next word, let us see, cooperate as much as possible. Try to work things out. Try to understand each other. Try to say sorry when you are even not your fault. I see a newlywed here, right? Then maybe this is applicable for you. Sometime to find peace in the home, you say sorry, even though it's not your fault. I know Casey have a lot of experience in this, right? And so sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes you just zip up, don't say anything. And so those things you have to cooperate as much possible that you can overcome some of the problem. And E stands for emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. Reconciliation, emphasize how can we work things out. That about our peace. That's how we can be a peacemaker. My friend, if we look at the life of Jesus Christ, a great peacemaker, we will learn from that example. He went through, he learned, people whipped him, nailed him to the cross. He wanted to be a peacemaker. Does it matter what anyone do? The end result is the most important, is reconciliation between God of heaven and the human race. Between two people is not the detail. Not the detail who win the battle. Who win the battle. And so I want to share with you that idea about peace. How can you gain peace? Number one, you have to have peace. You have to connect with God. You have to pray. If any guilt in your heart, you have to pray about it. Because any guilt, there's no peace. You go sleep at night, you don't find peace, okay? Number two, you have inner peace. Connect with yourself, your family. You have to find the peace. And number three, you have to go out your comfort zone to be a peacemaker, okay? People don't like peacemaker, but you know what? God wants you to be a peacemaker because that's one of the requirements, the part of the blessing that you may be my children because you're peacemaker. Now, for this week, go forward. You want to have peace in your heart? Find peace? Does it matter, exam coming up? Or maybe you have to do a board or whatever? Yeah, find peace. Okay, people need peace. Yeah, give to God. Children, something you're concerned, give to God. And connect with God. Ask God to help you. And last but not least, is God calling us to be a peacemaker. Help to share this wonderful peace God give each one of us. You know, sometimes we disconnect between the religion and our society. No, it's all together. All together. Because the purpose, the society don't have peace is because they have no God. Sometimes we disconnect. No. When you have God, you have peace. Because God will give you peace. Remember? Jesus left this world. He said, the world cannot give you peace, but I only can give you peace. Okay? Remember, I just read you John 14:27. Only Jesus can give us peace. So this world, as we're going through, or will go through, especially the end time, there's no peace. People don't want peace, especially people out in the world. They don't want peace. They want to win. They want this. They want their way, right? But God asks us to be peace and peacemaker. May God bless each one of you as you live out, as you accept this fruit of the Spirit of peace, then share this with others. May God bless each one of you as you're doing this. And that the message I will share with you this morning. Thank you.